flight track.
Welcome to Infandelity with B and C. One day, a former jock, that's B, married a self-proclaimed nerd, that's C, and slowly she introduced him to the path of nerdom enlightenment. Here we will discuss pop culture media and fandoms that we share and some that we don't. It's all fun and games until your spouse finishes a show without you. Thank y'all for joining us on another week of Infandelity.
Hey y'all, welcome back.
All right, let's get into this movie and TV news. You have on here, they're making a Bad Boys 4.
Bad Boys. Yeah, so they're coming out. Will ended up doing a little teaser type of thing or whatever, where he was like driving to Martin's house or whatever, and Martin opened the door. So they had this whole little, like, almost like a BTS kind of reel that he posted or whatever, just kind of just going to his house or whatever. And then that was the announcement that they were making, filming currently Bad Boys 4. Don't know right now if this is going to be the last one. They didn't say it was going to be the final installment. They just said that another one's coming out. So I'm hoping it's going to be the last one, because they're old.
Yeah, I'm tired.
They old. I'm not tired, but they just old. I know they tired. So realistically, just go ahead and just give it. Especially Martin.
I was listening to somebody. I don't know if it was the read, but they were like, they think it's going to be like a baton. Like, they're going to pass the baton to their kids or whatever.
I actually heard that on the read today, too. So I just listened to that episode. You just actually started the TV. You're going to have some.
Up.
See, look at you.
Turn it off.
Look at you. Y'all, look at her. Hitting the damn Apple TV remote.
I don't even know where the remote is.
You booty. Thick. That's that thick. You sitting on it.
I'm not.
Look, you done cut the TV back on. I know you didn't.
Anyway, back on the podcast.
Yeah, so I did hit on the read today, too. I'm trying to catch up on my read podcast, because I'm weeks behind. What?
So I have nothing to do with
you mentioned the read.
I'm trying to think if I have any movie and TV news. I really don't have any immediate movie and TV news. We'll talk more about what we want to talk about when we get to this tea for the week. But for now, we're going to go to our homework segment. And the homework segment is where we discuss our weekly shows. Like, when you go to counseling and your counselor gives you homework and then you have to come back the next week and talk about it. That's what we do during our homework segment.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, we are starting with BMF. We just finished season one, like literally just finished. That's why we're recording in our living room.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, I mean, I guess you can start.
Ooh, excuse me. Okay, what about the whole season? Okay, so season wrap up. I liked it. I mean, I can see why everybody, like, you know, kind of hyped it or whatever, and wanted everybody to kind of watch it. A lot of my peers, your dad, everybody kept asking us to watch it or asked us how we watched it. So we finally watched it. So
it's
like you said,
standard. Drug show, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, y'all, this is a timepiece. It was in the 80s, and of course, in the 80s, that was the era of what, y'all? Crack cocaine.
It's giving Snowfall.
Baking soda, water, stir it up.
I said it's giving Snowfall and power.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, it's, you know, it's loosely based off of a true story, y'all, in the 80s about two brothers trying to make it in this drug empire as like drug lords, basically, while leading their clique. So realistically, yeah, I mean, it holds true.
To what?
To what happened in real life in the 80s. Like, it was crack. Like, that's what the show is about. It's about crack cocaine.
Okay, so who was cooking crack? Because that's something we didn't see in the show.
We didn't. They
wasn't nobody cooking.
No, they dealt with suppliers. The suppliers.
Was it crack or was it cocaine? Because wasn't it something where they was like, I want cocaine, and then their dealer person was like, y'all not getting cocaine or something like that. Remember, I felt like it was something where they specifically said they wanted to deal cocaine and not crack.
So they are. So crack. Okay. So cocaine, of course.
I know the difference between crack and cocaine.
Okay. So you can't.
Crack is with the baking soda.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what they were getting was already cocaine.
Baking soda.
What they were getting was already cocaine. So yeah, I'm not sure who was cooking it up. I'm not sure if they were chefing up the crack or if they were selling the cocaine and having them up, like whoever they sold it to, they was cooking the crack up themselves.
They had to be, but they was probably, they was definitely selling crack because they was like on the corner.
Mm-hmm. They ain't selling no bag powders of cocaine. They ain't selling rock. They're hard.
Mm. Okay.
What?
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, for me, it's a good show. Like I said, all of these weeks, it's not my preferred style of TV show, but it is a good show because, the acting is well done for the most part. But yeah, once we got to the end, like I think I said episode 7 or episode 6, that baby girl who was doing the double crossing and crisscrossing and triple agent, double agent.
They always get it.
Yeah, she was going to have to go. And so, yes, she was killed, unfortunately, by her man.
Yeah, I ain't know. I thought it was going to be Lamar. I ain't going to hold you. So
yeah, B was shocked by that. But I felt like once he went and told
Meech
that he was gonna have to be the one to kill her, because he was gonna basically have to prove to Meech his loyalty was to Meech and not to her. Mm-hmm. So
we're gonna see if that loyalty holds strong, because he got his ass is in the
he got caught up
interrogation room and he got two bodies on that gun. So
I feel like maybe until, I don't know how long they plan on dragging this show out, but I feel like maybe, I mean, we know that they had a pretty successful run. I don't know how long the run was, but I'm like, they just getting started. So ain't no way they getting caught up anytime soon.
Right.
So
that's the thing. I'm saying, as far as him, like, we don't know if he gonna take the rapping and we never see him no more.
Right.
And then also, I forgot. Never mind.
Okay. So yeah, like I said, I think it's your standard drug television or drug story television. If that's something that interests you, then you will definitely like it. I feel like there could be a little bit more drama, which I guess it kind of is. With the, you have Lamar and his baby mama.
I said Lamar is the
family, the family drama. So yeah,
I definitely. Lamar is the drama of the show.
But he dead now.
He ain't dead.
What you mean? You don't think he did?
Never mind.
Cause we ain't see him actually croak. So that means that he's not dead. They had to leave the scene before he actually, cause he didn't finish him off. He wanted, I ain't gonna to hold watch you. Him die.
I've just seen commercials.
Oh, I'm up not here even, trying to create theories.
Nah, not even something I've tried to like. But like, it'll be something I'm watching on YouTube, and it'll be like a commercial of like a scene of Lamar that I haven't seen yet. So I'm like, okay, clearly he's alive. And then Twitter, just seeing memes and shit like that, I knew he was still alive.
Yeah, I'm not on BMF Twitter. So
I'm not either. It just, I guess people who I follow watch it. Yeah. So they, when they post about it or whatever, it's just, I see it sometimes. So yeah, and we didn't see him die. Because, again, the police came, it was rushed off. Right.
That's the main thing. If you don't see them die, then that means that they not dead. But we're assuming homegirl is dead.
Oh, yeah, she dead. We saw that bullet was right between her head. He shot her twice.
It was weird, but her neck was, like, bloody. It was weird. But, yeah, and he did shoot her twice. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Terry talked about he going to be out the drug game. We know that ain't finna last.
His dad, they daddy. Oh my god, I cannot stand their dad. Oh my god, I can't stand him. I probably don't like him more than Lamar. Lamar's annoying as fuck, but Lamar's violent and he has anger issues. That's why I don't like him. He's a fucking maniac.
He's a psycho.
Yeah, but the dad, like, oh my god, like, he is just unbearably annoying.
Yeah.
But yeah, y'all, the mama too, low key. But yeah, so I mean, yeah, we've interested in watching season 2, so we're going to start that sometime soon, catch up. I think they on episode 4.
I hope 5. Season 2 is better. I feel like it will be a little bit more dramatization. I feel like this one was kind of, now again, they say this is loosely based, but I feel like this one was kind of run of the mill. I need a little bit more like deceit and deception and like, you know, I don't know. Just a little bit more dramatics. Is it recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shout out to Lil Meech.
He's doing a good job.
Yeah.
So, T. Lou, The Last of Us. Did you ever go back and finish that episode?
I didn't finish the episode.
No, nigga, you was knocked out. And I literally try to wake you up like so many times.
I was gone. Okay, well, I was like, go ahead.
Okay, so the funny part about this episode is that I was like, this shit is boring because B actually likes the show. I mean, he played the game, and the fact that he was like knocked out for literally like 40 minutes of it. Well, the episode was about 45 minutes, so 30 minutes of the episode, I was like, yeah, this shit's kind of boring. It's kind of mid. But you can tell that they're setting it up for like some big shit that's going to go on. What? It's coming out on Friday this week.
Yeah, Super Bowl Sunday.
So yeah, it's going to be some big shit. The real dramatics is coming. But basically, this episode is basically the breakdown of Joel's character. Like, he's actually, you know, I don't say falling for Ellie, but you know what I mean. Just, you know.
Yeah.
She's breaking him in. Their bond is growing.
Yeah.
So she has her little jokes, her little sarcasm pun book, and she just basically keeps beating him over the head with it until he laughs and finds it funny. And that's pretty much the episode. Oh, and then Ellie has,
I saw
like
that.
This,
they were in the woods and slept and
but
shit.
But did you see when he laughed? No, because it was at the very end.
When he laughed?
About the diarrhea joke.
Oh, no, I ain't
yes,
seen that.
Exactly. You were asleep. Yeah. So Ellie had her first encounter with like actually having to kill someone. Did you see that? Yeah.
Wait.
No. So Ellie had.
Yeah, she pulled a gun and he took the gun away from her. Yeah, I saw that. You okay. Tried me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, she pulled the gun out to save Joel because he was getting choked out. Now she shot the guy in the leg and Joel basically had to finish her off.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that was in the game.
Ellie's innocence is breaking down. Did you see Shauna? I call her Shauna from Yellow Jackets. But
yeah.
Kathleen.
Yes.
Did you
Big
see
Mama?
Did you see her? So basically, her character, I think, her name is Kathleen. She's after Sam and Henry. Now, again.
She popped somebody, didn't she? Didn't she kill
yeah,
somebody?
She yeah. killed her pediatrician.
See, y'all, I pretty much saw the whole thing besides Joel laugh. That's it.
We'll see when you watch it again, because I feel like you were asleep for a long time.
Okay.
Everything
you said besides the laugh, I've known. Go ahead.
Okay, so where
keep
does
going.
Sam, where does Sam and Henry pop up?
Who?
Sam and Henry.
Who?
And you don't know who they are?
Keep going.
Do you know who they are?
Not right now.
Okay, because it seemed like it's a big thing. Because people on Twitter is like, oh my God, Sam and Henry. Oh my God. I'm like, okay. This is something from the game that y'all ruined.
I got to see the shit.
But anyways, so Kathleen is after them because she thinks that Ellie and Joel are mercenaries sent by Henry to like attack them. So people are basically looking for Ellie and Joel in the streets, and Ellie and Joel are kind of just sneaking, hiding out, trying not to get caught. They find this building. Also in this episode, you do realize that Joel is old, but he's like walking slower. Knees, he like, I'm fucking 56. Like, that nigga is old.
Mm-hmm.
And getting chased down and having shootouts and having to climb and jump and shit. So he's, you know, his age is, you know, it's showing. And I kind of like that realism too. I mean, 56 is not old, but also like, it's
you
not
got
like,
a, you
right?
Got
he's lived a hard ass life.
Yeah.
It ain't like he out here, you know, doing cardio every day, eating fucking vegan and shit. Like, this is an apocalypse.
Yeah.
So anyways, they wake up. So they find somewhere to sleep. They're on the 33rd floor of this building. Find a room to sleep in. Joel puts down glass to hear if somebody's coming. That's another thing too. Ellie noticed that his hearing isn't that good. I think she tells him like sleep on your other side because your left side you can't really hear out of or some shit like that. And anyways, they wake up. Ellie wakes up Joel, and basically somebody is holding Ellie at gunpoint and pointing a gun at Joel. That's the end. So
yeah,
that was
that
this
either.
Week. But yeah, this week I feel like it was just, you know,
set up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's something big. Did you see that under the ground?
Mm-hmm.
them knocking, that thing knocking under the ground. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, there's some, there again, Twitter's ruined everything. Just yeah. Like the bloaters or whatever.
No, that, yeah, them shits. Them bloaters is a motherfucker, boy. Them shits. The bloaters on the game is literally like the probably the scariest shit for me. Or like the worst and like the probably the most disgusting. I am petrified to see what the bitch is going to be like in like in real life. Mm-hmm. The bitches like explode. They bloat. They big and full of zombie juice. Okay. So when you pop them, they just explode and shit. It's disgusting. So yeah, interested in that. But yeah, y'all, so far, you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, it's intriguing.
Yeah, I like I said, I wasn't really pressed about this episode because it was all build up. So I haven't really listened to many pods about it. But of course, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's cool, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. All right. So you want to talk about Manifest real quick?
Manifest. So, I mean, like I said, wait, I talked about it last week. I don't think I watched anything ever since.
Oh, you haven't watched
it? I watched like half an episode. Nothing really worth honestly talking about. Okay. Right now, oh, I'm going to tell you where I am at. I am at a part where...
Is it time for me to start watching?
No. I am at a part where... Ben. So Ben, like I said, Ben make the deal with the guy that's locked up or whatever. The dude tell him about all the shit or whatever, like as far as like where the daughter at. Ben was supposed to meet back with the cop, the black ball dude or whatever, to let that nigga know, okay, this is the location, this is where we gotta meet up at. They're supposed to go together as a group. But of course, Ben, eager Ben, just gotta fucking go. He fucking dipped out or whatever. Now they ain't been able to make contact with him, pan over or whatever to what's the officer that his sister was with?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about, though?
No.
The officer that, remember, his sister is an officer. Ben's sister was an officer.
Michaela's
ex-boyfriend, who was also Jared. Y'all, I am horrible with names. Y'all know this stuff.
This is what I need you to do. When you're watching the show, I need you to start taking notes.
I don't.
You need to get professional on this podcast. You can't forget characters' names every time we record the pod.
Yeah, so anyway, Jared, hell, I'm finna forget the whole fucking thing. We finna just say, fuck it, and go to the goddamn tea of the week. That's what we finna goddamn do.
I want to talk about Harlow.
But yeah, I mean, so he was supposed to get to, I'm sorry. See, now you made me fucked up my whole train of thought. Jared went to go see about where Ben was, went up to the dude's spot, nothing, didn't see nothing, so he couldn't really say, all right, well, you know, all right, fuck it, have a good day. And of course, Ben ass was down there, tied up, gagged, bound, tied up to the goddamn wall and shit. And then there was another scene where his daughter ends up like being like guided. I forget what she was following, but it was something, I think it was, oh, it was a bee. It was a bee, and it was a bee that she was following.
The older one?
Why would his older daughter be following a bee?
Okay, so
Eden. They in the same house, child. Yes, Eden, so they in the same house with Ben. So Eden go down there or whatever, she following this bee, and then open the damn door, and then boom, Ben right there. And so Ben like, aww. You know what I'm saying, like eyes glassy as hell, he's starting to cry and shit, and of course that bitch come down there and was there, like, oh, that's a, she was like, man, yeah, that's a bad man, very bad man. And then she was like, but don't worry.
The girl who stole
him. And she was like, don't worry. And she looked at that nigga, was like, but mommy's here. And I was like, oh, you bitch. And that nigga Ben is like, Ben was trying to get out of that motherfucker. Oh, but yeah, so that's where I'm at right now. Okay. So at least Ben does know, like, you know, he's actually seen her. He's actually seen Eden. So now he knows for a fact that she is alive. So that's at least a good thing. But nobody else knows where Ben is right now. Nobody knows that he knows where she is officially. Nobody knows anything. The only thing that really knows is Jared knows at least where that house is, but they don't know. He don't know Ben is in there. He don't know Eden in there. He don't know nothing about that shit for real. So that's where we're at with that.
All right. So I started Harlem. I think I talked about it at the end of the last podcast. And it's actually a really good show. I really liked it. I feel like, okay, so the first thing, I just want to talk about the first episode. I have never seen two queer black women, masculine women in like a sex scene before. And I was like, oh shit. So that was, I was like, this is kind of, you know, groundbreaking, I guess, at least for me as a straight woman, having never seen anything like that in a kind of a popular show. So I thought that was pretty cool. Like, I feel like the representation is really nice. They kind of cover everybody. And it's pretty funny. It's 10 30-minute episodes in the first season, and season two just started, so it's not that many episodes. I think there will probably be three after this week. So if you're missing Insecure or you want a show like Insecure, then definitely check it out.
All right, so what's next?
We're going to take a break, and then we are going to talk about our tea for the week. So make sure you shop Rooney's Vacation and Resort Wear for all of your vacation essentials. Just a few pieces and you can create several different looks, and you can pack lighter, save money, and save the planet at the same time, because you're not wasting so many clothes for your trip. So shop Rooney at runiboutique.com. You can book a appointment for a consultation on the homepage. So make sure you do that to learn about your fit, your color options, and your style options. That is runiboutique.com. Okay, so tea for the week. This past Sunday was the Grammy Awards. And at the Grammy Awards, I do not know the specific count, but Beyonce was nominated for several awards, and she had won her 32nd award. It would make her the highest awarded Grammy winner of all time, out of all people ever. Highest awarded artist, I guess they said. And so she did do that very easily. I think it was like halfway through the night that she did that. And then it came to Album of the Year. So if you don't know, which I'm sure everybody does at this point, Beyonce has been nominated for Album of the Year 4 times and has lost each time. And she has lost to a white person each time. Now, of course, this is a show about movies and TVs, but we're talking about Grammys. I want to bring this back to, of course, movies and TV, because the Oscars are coming up. Last year, I watched the Oscars on a fluke because it was like not shit else on TV. And then that ended up being like the craziest fucking award show ever. And then this year, I mean, maybe even before then, I've gotten into listening to like podcasts about the movie industry and movies or whatever. So I was listening to The Big Picture, and they did a whole kind of Oscars discussion about Best Picture and or Best Actress and Best Actor. And essentially, there's this, in order to win, to be nominated for an Academy Award, the Academy, quote unquote, has to nominate you. And the Academy is made up of like actors, directors, people in the industry, right? So if you have if you're friends with like big people in the industry, potentially you can be finessed to vote a certain way, right? And apparently this is how it's kind of gone on. You don't need to have known the drama and the tea to know that this is what goes on, but there are certain rules to how you can campaign for an Oscar nomination. So that's why if you are into movies, you will see certain movies doing like press promo. They have these interviews called Actors on Actors or Actor Roundtable. So you see kind of the people who are campaigning to be nominated doing all of this press around before the voting period, so that, you know, they get their faces out there, so that the quote unquote Academy, because these are not People's Choice Awards, this is literally a group of people, so that the Academy can see who wins. Now, to make a long story short, Viola Davis and I believe her name is Danielle Detweiler from Teal were not nominated for the Best Actress category. However, two actresses were. One, Ana de Armas. I'm trying to think of where B may have seen Ana de Armas. I mean, she's kind of just, she's like the new Sofia Vergara. She's...
Hell, I don't know who that is.
You know Sofia Vergara. She started off in Madea, the Colombian model. Or Colombian actress.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ana de Armas.
I know exactly where she's from. She's from... I know. First time I heard Soul Plane. Yeah.
Right, but I'm talking about Ana... So, Ana de Armas is like the second coming of just like this beautiful Latin woman who they put in everything. Anyways, she played... did you see The Last 007? I don't think we watched that together. Uh-uh. Yeah, I can't think of anything.
What's her name? Anna who?
Ana. A-N-A-D-E. It'll come up. Anywho, so she was nominated for playing Marilyn Monroe in Blonde. Apparently, nobody likes this movie. They said she kind of did her best in the role, but apparently this movie is horrible. I didn't watch it because certain scenes that they said were in the movie, I was like, yeah, I don't want to see that. So she was nominated, and then this other random, and I don't want to say random, no. But basically this, you never seen her before?
No, y'all better not ever compare her to whatever my girl name is.
I'm just saying, just as far as, you know, they kind of, she's like the new Penelope Cruz, like this.
Y'all,
you know,
giving her a lot of names that she not.
I'm just saying in terms of like, you know, it can only be one Latin woman that they want to put in every movie every time.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. This other actress was nominated for a smaller movie that nobody had ever heard of because two really famous actors put on Instagram and put on Twitter that they liked the movie. So it shut out Viola from Woman King, and it shut out Danielle Detweiler from Teal. Now, me and B, we said on this very podcast that we were not watching Teal because we don't want to see any more black trauma. And I believe also on this podcast that we said that movies like Teal are specifically made to win shit like Oscars, because Oscars only tend to award black films if it's something to do with trauma, i.e. 10 Years a Slave. Or 12 Years a Slave, or Monsters Ball, or whatever. It's always something traumatic. It's never just a good fucking story, right? Especially when it comes to black people and black art. So I wanted to have a discussion about basically like, oh, and also the director of Teal was vocally upset that she feels like she was unfairly... The actress was unfairly shut out of the awards. And that was also funny to me because, again, we said, or I feel like these movies literally only get made because they want recognition from these institutions. So, because if you was making a movie for black, honestly, black, like B said on this very podcast, I wish we had an engineer, we could be like, roll the tape back.
Yeah.
You said, like, this movie is not for, these movies are not for black people. Black people know the story. Mm-hmm. So who are you making these movies for?
Yeah.
All right. So that's why, you know, you're probably upset because that's who your audience that you were seeking the approval for. You weren't actually seeking the approval of black people when making this film. And that's not to say that all people who want to win an Oscar, all black people who want to win an Oscar are doing that, because they're not. So yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess the question is, how do we step away from feeling like we need recognition from these institutions? Like, I honestly, I think too, Beyonce made like a reel with her. Like, Beyonce seems to be having a fantastic time with her Grammys, as she should. But I feel like niggas are more upset that Beyonce didn't win Album of the Year. And it was more mainly so because she didn't win. She lost to Harry Styles.
Mm-hmm.
And Of course, you know, music is subjective, so everybody has their own personal preference. But I feel like I'm a pretty objective music listener, and I couldn't get through Harry Styles' album. Did you get the? You're an objective person when it comes to music too. You'll listen to anything.
Yeah.
Did you finish Harry Styles' album?
I don't listen to
Did
Harry
you
Styles.
Start? But you would even when his first album came out, you asked me.
I tried it, yeah.
Yeah, you were like, did you listen to Harry? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to understand the hype. I'm like, why? Harry Styles, based on my musical preferences, should appeal to me.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
But he don't. Yeah. So I'm just like, I don't understand why I don't like it, but I just don't. So I couldn't even get through this album, and he literally beat Bad Bunny, who had obviously had the numbers.
Yeah.
If not, I don't listen to Bad Bunny, not because
he was sitting on number one on the chart, Billboard charts for like shit moons, right? Like almost most of the year.
Right, and I feel like Bad Bunny, obviously he doesn't make I don't want to say pop music, but what is it called? Crossover music. He don't make crossover music. He makes music for his culture.
Yeah.
And that's probably why it's a little harder for me to get into him, because it's like, no, you got to be in Puerto Rico, from Puerto Rico, like in it, to understand kind of like the rhythms, the cadences, how he, you know, all it's very authentic to me, I guess. I don't know, because I'm not Puerto Rican, but that's how I feel. He ain't making a song. Well, he might have song. Do we have a song with Drake?
Yeah. That's Mia. Mia. Okay,
yeah, there you go. Yes, Mia. I know. And another song he has with Dua Lipa, too. But anyways, be that. And I think most of the songs, too, he makes with J Balvin are kind of mainstream. Be that as it may, I think a question that I thought of is that, what would be considered a prestigious award as an Academy or a Grammy for Black artists? Now,
NAACP.
That's what I was going to say. I was thinking the NAACP, but I was like, is it because they award so many different things at the NAACP awards? Like, I feel like it's not necessarily specific. I feel like it's just like great niggas in general.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that just me? And I've also never watched like a telecasting. And is it because they don't have like the performances? Like, do they even have performances?
They have some, but it's not as many. I don't know. I feel like, but they can always tweak stuff up a little bit or whatever. But I don't know. I definitely feel like that's, you know, it's the white awards that niggas just feel like, it's like, we gotta seem right. Like, why, we gotta have acceptance by them.
Right. Why do we still need white approval?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we know we dope. Like, we run everything. Every fucking music genre at the Grammys was started by Black people. All of them. Country, rap, R&B, rock and roll.
Except
all
for
that.
What? Classical.
And it's still probably, nigga, they said Beethoven was a goddamn nigga.
Okay, there you go.
So, hello, we in everything, but you know, I don't know. I just feel like that's something that's never going to change, though.
Yeah, I don't.
Because like I said, I'm just gung ho on that shit. Like I said, and I asked my supervisor earlier,
gung-ho
whatever,
on what?
On just like, I don't know, bro. I just can't watch that shit. Like I would, like I just can't, like.
You're talking about Grammys or
Oscars, all these super white, boring. All these super whitewashed ass award shows or whatever that niggas just like, oh my, like when niggas win, it's like, oh, the first Black person, and niggas like, oh my God, yes.
Right.
And I'm just tired of that, bro. Like, we just be gassing that shit. It's like, we should have been had all this shit. It's just like, we're not given the same opportunities and shit, but it's just like, I don't know. It's just like, I feel like we keep saying the same story or whatever. They still not putting people in the positions. Or what they do at the Grammys, they just gave niggas a hip hop appreciation that the motherfucker went all the way. That shit, we didn't even get to see it in Atlanta because it went on commercial.
No, it went. I was checking Twitter and most people were like, yeah, they cut to commercial during the middle of it, but then I guess it came back on.
So it's just like, you know, this shit should have been something that niggas had or whatever, and it's like, nope, didn't have that.
And then that's controversial because they named it after Dr. Dre, who is not the best of people.
Correct. And it's like, some people also felt like Will Smith, regardless of the fact of what his shit, how his shit happened at the Oscars, they still feel like he should have been there a part of the Grammy, because he was literally the first hip hop artist to win a Grammy.
Oh, Will Smith was.
Yeah. So they was just like, oh, y'all, I see why y'all didn't, because clearly it's controversy from the Oscars, I'm sure, but y'all low-key kind of dropped the ball on that, because, yeah. I mean, as the first hip-hop artist to win a Grammy, he definitely should have been there.
Yeah.
Him and DJ Jazzy Jeff should have definitely had, like, a little, even if it was one song or wave, some type of acknowledgement.
Right. I did not know that piece of history.
Facts. Yeah.
Yeah, so... And Lizzo was the first woman, or I don't know, but she was the first since Whitney Houston in 1999. So that was 24 years ago.
To do what?
To win Record of the Year.
For Whitney, like, what song?
It's About Time.
How'd it go?
The main one. In a minute, I'm Anita.
Oh.
So, and that, her speech was really cool, because she thanked Beyonce, and Beyonce was like, oh. I don't know. It was a nice black girl moment. It was so cute, because Beyonce was tearing up. Lizzo was tearing up. It was very cute.
Child, I'm gonna tell y'all about my mama. She can fake some tears. Let me tell y'all.
Fake some tears.
Child, that girl wasn't crying that whole show. That girl ain't crying.
Oh, Beyonce.
Yeah.
She wasn't crying. It was just like glassy. Child thought you was talking about Miss P. But anyways.
Oh no.
Nah. I'm just saying, she just looked, you know, super, you know, she was grateful. And it's, I mean, I don't know, nobody knows what it feels like to be Beyonce, but you know how when you just constantly, the spotlight is just constantly being put on you by everybody, like, that has to be like, oh, okay, thanks y'all. But, and I mean, outside of her, when she's doing her artistic thing, she does seem like a very shy person. So yeah. It's just kind of like, it probably is just like, oh, me again. I know. Oh God, I know y'all love me. Oh my gosh. But anyways, yes, I definitely feel like, I don't know what I feel like. I feel like I understand the want to be acknowledged by these quote unquote institutions of prestige within the artistic community. But at the same time, I also feel like Black B has said, like, we need to, you know, we need to feel just as, and I say we, like, I'm in these rooms. I don't know, maybe one day. But I'm saying, like, artists, I think the artists put the emphasis on what's most important to them. It doesn't feel like NAACP awards are as important because are y'all showing up? Or BET awards are important because are y'all showing up?
Well, like I said, from Jump Street, like I said, and that's what I told Frida, it's just like, you know, as soon as we have all these artists, look at BET awards. We had all these artists that was always showing up, all of our top artists that was always showing up at the BET awards. As soon as they cross over or get popping or whatever like that, that's when you never see the ass at the BET Awards again until they're guaranteed guaranteed win, or they gonna perform or some shit or something like that. Bless you. That's the only other way. Other than that, it's just like, I just,
yeah, they don't show up. Mm-mm. So again, that shows that you don't put as much stock into these awards as when you are invited to the Oscars or invited to the Golden Globes or invited to the Grammys. And I feel like some people do still. I mean, Zendaya went to the BET Awards last year,
but
she ain't have to go.
So I guess my question is, when it comes to athletes, we know what they're doing. We know, yeah, they're trying to get to the pros. We know they're trying to make money. We know realistically they're trying to get a ring or a trophy. That's ultimately what they're trying to go for. Yeah, they're living out their dream, but they're still trying to go for a trophy.
Right.
I haven't heard of many musicians or actors or actresses that are saying, oh, I'm trying to go for an Oscar. Or I'm trying to, you know, like, they're not trying to say, I'm trying to act for, I'm not, you know, it's nothing like that. It's like they love acting. They love singing, so that's what they do. And it's just like, if some shit end up being dope and a lot of people fuck with it, then shit, yeah, I'm going to toss my album in there to be considered, or toss our movie in there to be considered for an Oscar or something like that. But it's just like, I think there might be a difference as maybe athletes who look forward to winning awards and stuff like that versus actors and actresses, I'm wondering, do they look forward to awards, or are they just doing it just because they love the art and that's what they like to do? Or are they, like I said, gunning for awards? Like, is that their...
I think it's a mix. I think once you get to a point where you start getting recognition, that's when you start wanting that sort of attention. Like, once you get the recognition of the academies, then you want to start creating things, you know, in hopes that it will be recognized partially. Now, I personally feel like, just, I guess as we can call this the Beyonce pod, or we're just going to have a Beyonce stan pod moment. I personally feel like Beyonce doesn't create to win awards. I feel like she creates based on what she feels connected to, and she just is so obsessive over what she does that everything that she does is good. Because she also doesn't do... I mean, her last album was 5 years. Since Beyonce in 2013, she has really taken her time with everything that she does to make sure that it's, like, perfect. So I feel like she actually kind of cares about the craft, and you can see that more so than the recognition, but it gets recognized because it is just so well done. Versus, like, a Harry Styles, who is trying to get radio hits, going on tour. He's in the pinnacle of I'm a pop star. And when you're in the pinnacle of I'm a pop star, it's the putting shit out so you can constantly stay on top and constantly stay in people's faces and constantly be in the front of attention. And it's not necessarily quality, because you didn't really dig deep, because you just trying to, you know, stay in the popular conscious.
Yeah, I don't know his relationship with the other directions, but hell, he could be trying to, like, show them, like, shit, I'm gonna show them shit.
And I mean, he don't have to. I mean, he's obviously the most popular one, so it's like, you don't really have, you know, what do you have to prove?
He still just probably just want to shit on him.
Yeah. And has, because he has a Grammy now, so congrats.
Bro, that on me. Again, y'all, I speak to, like, we gotta stop giving.
I'm talking about for Harold Styles, but yes, for Negroes, I feel, yes, it's
trash.
I don't know, but it's interesting, because it's like, well, once you have that nomination, that's in front of everything. It don't even matter if you win or not. Oscar nominated actress, Oscar, you know,
Grammy nominated,
Golden Globe winner, Zendaya. Like, it's literally on everything. It gets you in other rooms. It gets you more money. That's how they promote your projects. So it's like, they're still, you know, as a society, we still, they not putting BET award winning.
Right. No.
NAACP award winning.
And not.
They're not. And so it's just like, it's just really interesting. It's a really interesting conversation, a cultural conversation as Black people in media and who consume media. I think that is funny how, you know, white indoctrination, is that a correct word? Has, you know, just continues to seep its way into us regardless of us trying to actively reject it, if we are. Because I know that, you know, me and B consciously attempt to reject it as much as we can, but it's like, some institution, you know, that's just what is baked into American society. It is praising these, you know, historically racist institutions. So it's another form of systematic oppression. It's like, you feel like your art isn't good enough because you didn't get the recognition from these white establishments.
And that's just how life, man. I'm literally looking at something today about just like the Negro Baseball League. And it's just like, just something that's baseball, bro. We can't fucking play baseball with them niggas. Like, we had to create our own fucking league. The Atlanta fucking baseball team for the Negro League was the Atlanta Black Crackers. That's literally the name of their fucking baseball team. The ABC, the Atlanta Black Crackers. That's the exact name of the.
Like Cracker Jacks?
I don't know what it stood for, but I just know that's their name. The ABC, Atlanta Black Crackers, was the name of the Negro League here. But regardless of the fact, it's just like, that's with anything. Institutions, they wouldn't let us fucking go to their school. We had to create HBCUs. They wouldn't let us in the fucking organizations. We had to create Divine Nine. It's just like with everything, like any type of thing, anytime they won't let us do some shit, we got to do some shit.
Yeah.
Or if we stay, or if we start some shit, then they take the shit
right
from us. Like when Soul Train. Soul Train was the first of its kind. Then American Bandstand hit.
Right.
And it's just like...
Or what was that, Solid Gold? Is that the same thing?
Yeah. Yeah. What's his name? Dick.
Dick Clark.
Yeah. He used to host that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Because, like, come on, fam. Like, and it's... I'm just irritated.
I didn't mean that. Start the conversation for
you. I know.
For us to be irritated. But it's like, it just feels like it just feels like we can't.
It's a never-ending, right, like a battle. Like,
right. It's a continuous uphill climb. Yeah. It feels like we're never going to. I joke about it and I say it all the time on Twitter, but I mean, I really believe, like, we never going to be free.
Mm-mm.
We're never going to be free until these people with power, me and B, are just two married Black people sitting on our couch recording a podcast. Mm-hmm. But until these people with power literally say, you know what, I'm not going to the Grammys. No. And don't go to the Grammys for 2 years and then you put an album out and now you at the Grammys.
Right.
No, seriously, you and your billions.
Because
what the fuck you need to go?
I'm not going to hold you. I feel like Will and Jada looked kind of clownish last year. Y'all let that whole brigade of Oscar So White.
Right.
Y'all let that whole shit of Oscar So White. And then when he was nominated for that what was it, King Richard?
Yeah.
Nominated for King Richard. Y'all sat y'all Black asses right up there and was waiting for that damn Oscar to pop up. Where Oscar So White then? Keep that same energy. Don't show up.
Right. Now they can't, but
right now you might argue he could have probably said, oh, you know, this is something bigger than me. I want to do this for,
right, that's what I'm saying. Dad
passed and stuff. Oh, I'm sorry, their dad passed. They're gone, ain't they?
I don't know.
I think their dad passed. Am I lying?
He might have.
Am I making this up?
But yes, there's always a reason why, you know, to open up doors for other people, blah, 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 blah. But again, it's been how many years? Probably 100 years. Every time you go to AMC, they let you know it's been 100 years of cinema. 100 years of movies.
Damn, I'd have killed this man off. He's still alive. I'm so sorry.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think he passed.
My bad.
100 years of cinema. And it's still Black people being the first. And niggas been put out a lot of fucking movies between then and now. And it's still the first in 20 years, the first in 30 years, the first. So it's like, okay, y'all, so when we gonna give it up?
Mm-hmm.
When we just gonna stop giving a fuck? When? We not.
We got, that's what I'm saying.
And because if the people who can actually, you know, make visible change to millions of people, me and B not being one of the viewers on the TV screen, that ain't gonna make no goddamn difference. Mm-mm. But if the actual motherfuckers that bring in millions of fucking views stop going to this shit for 10 plus X, just stop fucking going.
Well, that's another thing too. When it comes to music, when it comes to like, do the artists even have control over? Because like, it could be their label. Would their label like push that shit?
I mean, depending on. We're talking about the Jay-Z, Beyonce, Will Smith, Kanye. We're not talking about Glorilla
and
Lil Baby. Mm. Yes, it's huge for them and where they are in their career to be in those spaces. But, and probably encouraged by their label. But we're talking about those people.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, yeah, stop going. I don't know. If it's not important, if it's important, then, you know, say it's important, which y'all kind of do by still showing up.
Right. I feel like as long as y'all going to show up, you're going to still have a group of niggas that's still going to be like, okay, well, I'm rooting for everybody black. Right. So I'm going to watch just because I hope all the niggas win.
Right. And then be pissed off with it.
Right. That's why I don't watch, because I'm not going to be pissed.
Basically.
Yeah.
Me. Because it was like, yeah, Beyonce made like crazy ass history on Sunday to still be disrespected. Snug.
To still get snubbed.
To still be stubbed.
Yeah.
So, It is what it is. But yeah, just think about that as a culture, as a people. Like, why do we still seek white validation at the peak, at the pinnacle? These people are worth billions of dollars. They don't need white people for shit. For shit else. They don't need white people for nothing.
Y'all, we still on the field. We still on the.
And they
We
still
still on.
want
We still
the
on.
recognition and respect of these white institutions.
Boss, I can do it quicker, boss. I can do it faster than Johnny Ray over there, boss. Watch me. Competing for master, trying to get his approval. And he gonna sit there. Go ahead then, boy. Show me. He's gonna sit back there and watch. That's literally what it is.
Yeah.
And I know this is going off topic as well, low key, but this is like same with NBA and NFL. I just feel so weird with predominantly black players in the NBA and NFL, and what you see all the time, traded. This person traded. Russ on a traded block to get traded for this person. They're going to get traded this way. It's literally like a plantation. Each team is a plantation, and you just trading one fucking one nigga on the field to another to another plantation to work on another fucking field.
Yeah.
Literally.
Literally.
And the only difference is they getting paid, but they had, you know, they had a, they contracted, but still, it's just like, man, fuck, like,
it's very strange, and we're getting into a very dark. I mean, this whole podcast is
pretty dark, yeah.
Political,
yeah.
But yeah, it's getting, you know, it just shows again when people say, speaking of institutions, I do want to watch that 1619 project that's on Hulu. But yeah, it just basically shows that literally there is, it's, so remember the, white people were upset because they wanted to teach, they were trying to ban some type of, yeah, there we go. Some type of history. It basically talks about, systematic oppression, and putting that into, you know, putting that into
school books.
Right. And black people's contributions and this, that, and the third. But anyways, it just goes to show you that the way this country was set up, you know, racist and everything, racism permeates and remnants of slavery permeate every fucking thing.
Look at here, Kyrie's first Mavs bucket. Kyrie got traded from Brooklyn to Dallas Mavericks.
And he
already there. He done made his first point with Dallas. It ain't been a 2 weeks. Like, it's barely been a
did
week.
Did he practice with the team?
I don't even know. Shit.
Did he get a practice in, or did he immediately get put on the court after he landed in Dallas? It's crazy.
Boy, go pick out a cot.
Literally.
They go. Go pick out a cot. I got some bread over there. Some.
Whoa. The nigga fresh out the plane and went straight to the court.
Literally, bro.
For a game.
Them niggas still probably don't like that nigga. Them niggas still probably see that nigga as an opponent. They stop.
They're like, why are you over here?
They gonna be guarding that nigga in their own jerseys and shit. Oh shit, I forgot, bro.
Like, whoa.
But yeah, I don't know. We shall overcome. Who knows? Will we ever overcome?
In the meantime, I do want
to. This should remind me of the Dave Chappelle show when they was like, I know black people. They said, he asked the white lady, how can black people rise up and overcome? She said, well, can they overcome? They was like, ding, that is correct. Can we overcome? We don't fucking know.
Oh, and that too goes back to the colorism in the show. Oh my God.
Exactly, yeah. We ain't mention that. And what's the shit called? BMF, all this, light skin. Don't trust the light skin motherfucker. Crunchy black niggas this and light skin niggas that. It's just like, oof. Y'all go read this book called Post Traumatic Slave Syndrome.
Yeah. Read. I didn't read it, but B has, and he's given enough.
It's like, Dr. Joy breaks it down to a T. Like, she really like compares everything from like back then and like sums it up to now. Talks about her trips to Africa and things that she learned and stuff like that. Like, it's deep, and it really puts it in perspective. Like, damn, bro, like we are literally living. And I know it's so easy for us to blame white people for everything going on. Like, oh, it's the white man. But it's when you really look at it, and like I said, this book really made me see that shit for real. Like, you hear that shit all the time, but looking at every scenario she wrote down. It's like, yo, we are still living through this shit today.
Yeah.
Today. We still marching. We still doing the shit. Niggas still getting killed. All this shit is still continuously happening. It's like, why are niggas in the poor conditions they in? Why are they in the hoods they in? Because of post-traumatic slave.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally us not being able to be in, like, in the right positions. Us not being able to have the right connections and stuff. We just don't have that privilege.
Right.
And we don't even know our history. We don't know our people. Like, none of that shit.
So, this is would be controversial, but not really. I'm not saying it to be in a controversial way. But, like, post-traumatic slave disorder is, you know, it's a basically a mental health condition, right? Mm-hmm. So, because she said that the things that happened to us were so traumatic that those conditions have been genetically passed down.
From each generation.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so at what point as conscious people do we have a choice to say, how are we going to heal from that trauma as a people? It's kind of like, you know, now a lot of people our age are like, oh, we're breaking generational curses.
Yeah,
like, this is a part of breaking those generational curses.
I think it's going to either start with our generation or Gen Z. I think our generation is the generation to kind of start it because we're the ones that's kind of like less up for the bullshit. We trying to work through. Our generation is the generation that really seek and found out about counseling. And right. therapy and shit. Right. So like, okay, now that we know about this shit, okay, shit, this shit has helped us out a lot dealing with our shit and our past and shit. Now here we are at our ages trying to get our elders to get on this shit, even though it's pretty much too late for them because they already stuck in their ways. We're trying to get our parents and our great-grandparents to get on their shit. Oh, not great-grandparents, but grandparents to get on their shit. But it's like, at this point, we can only worry about the future. So it's like making sure that now we know what, we've addressed our trauma from our past so we know how to
right,
be like, able to help our children in the future
right.
and, you know, and be able to speak positivity amongst them, but even still, and right. be able to encourage them, like, hey, if you feel this way, not only can you come to me, but if you need counseling, let us know. We'll take you to a counselor. Right. We'll take you to, you know, get that help because, you know, it's, you know, I mean, even from, and I know we're getting too deep into this, but even from, like I said, childhood, it's like, I can only speak from as a boy or whatever. Like if a boy falls, the first thing a mom says or a dad says is get up, toughen up, yeah. Be a man up. Like, you know, like it's like, bro, he's a baby, bro. Like he's a kid. Like he ain't, he's supposed to cry. That shit hurt. Like, he's not a man. He ain't paying no fucking bills, even if the bills is in his name, motherfucker. Like, he ain't paying none.
Right.
So, you know, it's just shit like that off rip. It's like you started at an early infant age as, like, damn near being traumatized.
Exactly. The post-traumatic slave disorder.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I definitely agree with you that, you know, that our generation is more aware. I mean, I even see, like, even older millennials, like, I don't want to... But basically, just you saying, oh, my vanilla baby, oh, mm-hmm. my little, like, that's mm-hmm. not okay.
Right.
Like, this, that's a part of the problem. So it's like, we are able to recognize that these things, and this is even, I think this conversation has grown into, like, we've taken white people out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take all the shit that the white people have done and continue to do out of it. What are we doing as a people to grow past, to heal the generational trauma so that, because again, in order to get free, and the reason why I always say we never gonna get free mm-hmm. is because the things that we do to each other.
Yeah.
And not on some fucking black on black. No, it's literally... It's the way that we think.
And business. Even how we do business with each other is different.
Exactly. It's the way that we think. Talk to each other.
Yeah. We don't want to support black
the businesses. The way that we talk to our children.
Yeah.
You know, the way that we, even amongst diasporas, again, to take white people out of it, the way that people look down on black Americans or try to distinguish themselves from black Americans because they have more of the African culture because they didn't go through the same type of slavery that African Americans went through. So
mm-hmm.
it's start here, start inside the home, And like B said, maybe that's the way, slowly but surely. I mean, it's, you know, 500 years of trauma that we're trying to resolve. Mm-hmm. So slowly but surely, the generations, if there's a planet for the generations after to have.
And that's the first thing they say is just like, oh, well, y'all got black on black crime. How y'all think they had them? Y'all been putting us against each other since forever. Y'all have been putting us against each other forever.
Right.
Forever.
Right. And again, if we look out, you know, survival, most of the time it's survival.
Of course.
So, and again, disrespect, talking. I mean, I grew up in I don't want to call it a harsh environment because when I lived there, it wasn't, but technically it was. But I mean, yeah, it was a harsh environment. Like, kids talking about you because you wearing Skechers and not Nikes. And like, Skechers was fucking expensive. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's simple shit. And mind you, we all in hood.
Right.
Like, but we all in hood, ain't we?
Right.
But when you a child, that's, you know, you grow, it's the crab in the barrel, whatever they say, mentality, literally. Yeah. Like, I just got a little bit more than you, so let me point it out. And then again, like we've referenced a billion times, that is the symptom of the PTSD.
That's also why niggas can't go return to their own hoods. Or get killed in their own hoods. Where they grew up at, where they were born, they get murdered there because they going back to try to either help, show love, or show off. And you got some niggas that ain't gonna like it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I feel like we got way too deep.
We got way too deep and way off. But not really. Because again, going back to the art of it all, and I think the heart of this podcast is like, me and B are both artists.
Yeah.
And, you know, what does success look like for black art outside of the white gaze? And how do we celebrate success of black art outside of that? And I think that's basically the gist of it. And even outside of, I mean, obviously money, because we live in a capitalism, but we gotta get rid of but we gotta get rid of like putting a monetary value on everything, because everything is not, what is the educational value?
Yeah.
What are you learning? How are you feeling? How does it make you feel? Mm-hmm. When I spend money on Beyonce because of the way she makes me feel.
Right.
Not because somebody said, oh, Beyonce. No, like I've experienced her and I experienced how she makes me feel. And I feel like that's worth whatever amount of money that it is that I can afford to pay. So.
Ditto, kiddo.
There you go. All right, well.
I am going to just try to catch up on Manifest as far as what I'm going to be watching for my homework.
We're going to be playing Hogwarts Legacy. Now, that is another podcast for another day.
Yes, I have commenced. This is pretty good.
We are allies. I know this is a big contentious. This is probably one of the ways in which millennials are problematic to Gen Z, because Gen Z is starkly anti J.K. Rowling and her properties, whereas millennials are like, sorry, y'all, we can separate one from the other in this instance.
Definitely gonna be playing that. Super excited about that. I put all my other games to the side right now. I was playing 2K like crap. Done. I haven't got my player championship ring yet. I'm just putting all my shit to the side. Hogwarts now. And that's crazy because Massey, he's played like 8 hours thus far. He's barely done it 15%. Oh my God. 15% of the game.
What?
That's how long the game is.
Oh God. Well, y'all know I won't be doing that, but I'm gonna make my own witch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm gonna get as far as that and then walk around a bit and see what happens.
Yeah, you can be a witch or a wizard too. You can choose. What else? Of course we're gonna watch catch up on BMF. Season 2 of BMF.
T. Lou is Friday.
Yep.
That's
The Last of Us, if y'all don't know.
I don't know. Let me
take Wednesday off this. I'm not watching that shit. I already know I'm not gonna watch it.
You might, if you get to it, you will probably like it, but you got to get to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any movies that we'll talk about next week. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about Rihanna's Super Bowl performance as a theatrical experience. But I don't know.
We should watch Avatar. We might watch Avatar.
Yeah, but we really got to dedicate time to that. Yeah, I'll be watching Harlem, and what else am I watching? That's pretty much it. I'll be catching up on Harlem this weekend.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll get to the Ben V experience, Benavi, as I like to call them, experience, and you can let me know when I can tune into that. All right.
Alrighty then. Well, make sure y'all follow us on all our social media platforms. Our Instagram and our Twitter is InFandelityPod. That's InFandelityPod, P-O-D. And y'all be safe out there. Stay warm. Make sure y'all double up on y'all vitamin C. We are not too far away from springtime, so you know what that means. Pollen is coming, especially for our people in the South.
That's why I'm over here.
Bees
sniffing and sneezing now.
Bees is coming. Wasps are coming. Mosquitoes are slowly on their way back out. All those little critters that have been hiding and trying to, you know, just keep out of the cold. They're gonna come back out, guys. So make sure y'all spray y'all's houses, get some ortho, whatever y'all need to do to keep the bugs away, because it's coming. So just prepare for springtime, because she's a coming. And then when the summer comes, Beyonce is coming. And I can't wait for that. So we'll see y'all next time.